Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, praise and worship team. That was some beautiful anointed singing this morning. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of John, chapter 16. John chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word. John chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. These, of course, are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to his disciples not long before he'll face the horror of Calvary's cross. John chapter 16, verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye shall see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. And all things the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, he shall take of mine and show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of the Comforter has come. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the beautiful presence of the Holy Spirit that we have felt in this service. Lord, it is evident that your Holy Spirit has already been moving. And I'm asking today, Lord, that you would begin to give this church and this body a greater revelation of the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we know that can only come through faith in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we would never seek to go beyond the cross, for there's nothing beyond the cross. The cross is your finished work. But Lord, through that finished work, you have made it possible for these mortal jars of clay to be endued with the mighty power that flows from the very throne room of Almighty God. And I'm asking you, Lord, in the coming weeks and even years, that you would give us more of your Holy Spirit, for we, the church, can do nothing without him. Lord, I'm asking you that today you'll baptize believers that are hungry in the mighty Holy Spirit. And Lord, we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. These words that Jesus spoke, particularly in verses 1 through 4, they're not often quoted as great promises of God. But you've got to understand that the Lord Jesus knew exactly what his disciples were going to face after his death, burial, and resurrection. He was keenly aware of the fact that those in the Jewish synagogues were going to do exactly what he told them was going to happen. And Scripture bears it out. Some of them were killed. We sang about Paul this morning, who was imprisoned and beaten several times. Why? for preaching Christ and Him crucified. Now think of that. In the modern vernacular, we don't often put it in those terms, but that is exactly what happened. Jesus told His disciples, they're going to run you out of synagogues. Some are going to kill you thinking they're doing God a service. And the truth of the matter is that that continues on to this very hour. That there are those in the religious world, not the body of Christ, note I said the religious world, who still hate anyone who represents Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. And as I was ministering Thursday night over at the prison in Pickaway County in Orient, Ohio, Mahari and Monique and Emerson, a friend of theirs, we went there to minister to the prisoners. And the Holy Spirit just swept the place on Thursday night. I mean, He just fell on those prisoners. And Monique sang that beautiful song, "The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power." And I just thought the whole place was just under the throne room of God, just such a wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit there. And as I was preaching that night, I was really reiterating what I told this church on the previous Sunday morning about how God could restore the years for them if they would trust Him, how He could overcome any failure in their lives, even in that prison. And it blessed me to see and reminded me of how the Holy Spirit of God is not limited by prison walls. That he came and He fell in that little building that we were in. There was probably about 140 prisoners in there. And many of them began to praise God and worship God. And they received the word that I was giving them when I gave that altar call. There were 7 of them that gave their heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. And you could tell these were not what they call the jailhouse type of religions where somebody's in trouble and just trying to use Jesus for a quick fix to get out of jail. These men were truly born again with the Spirit of God. But as I was delivering that message, in the midst, about 3/4 of the way through it, a couple of them got up and walked out on me, angrily so. Now, that's something when you run prisoners out of the service, ain't it? Shannon was talking about a friend she had met earlier today before service, and he was saying something to the effect of, well, these pastors that just don't want to make nobody mad, they ain't preaching nothing if they don't make nobody mad or something like that. I said, oh, Shannon, you have to tell him that your pastor is really preaching the truth. That's what he said. If they're not preaching the truth, and you know, people are going to get mad if they're preaching the truth. I said, oh, you tell him we really preach the truth around here. But in any event, as those 2 men got up and walked out, what were they so angered about? It was because at that point in time, I was pressing the point hard that you could hold nothing up alongside the Lord Jesus Christ. That you couldn't hold up a 12-step program alongside of Him. You couldn't hold up Alcoholics Anonymous alongside of Him. And it angered them when they heard that, because I come to find out after the service that the prison chaplain had some knowledge of these men, and he said they were heavily into those programs. And that's exactly what Jesus was talking about to His disciples. You think, how could anybody be offended in Jesus? How could anybody get angry or upset over Jesus and Him crucified? Well, let me tell you something. There's nothing angers the religious soul more than having its God torn down. And if your faith is not in Christ and Him crucified exclusively, you're involved in religion. And religion hates the cross. Religion hates the cross. I can tell where somebody is spiritually in 3 seconds if they'll tell me how they feel about the cross of Jesus Christ. I can tell you right now where they are. And if they try to hold up anything alongside of that cross, anything at all, as a means to deliverance, as a means of cleansing over sin, or a means of victory over sin, that person is involved in religion, and they'll become angry when what they have their faith in is torn down, even if what's tearing it down is the finished work of the Son of God on the cross. Jesus knew that the Jewish community, who was so involved in Old Testament worship, which strangely enough was what God had ordained for that time, but he knew that when these disciples began to declare that his death on the cross was the only way now for man to be made right with God, that they would face opposition like they had never known before. He knew that they would be treated unfairly. He knew that they would be mocked and maligned, beaten, run out of town, every kind of vile thing in the world said and done to them. And he told them this is going to happen. But he went on to tell them something else. And this is what you and I need to know today. Because let me make it clear, that spirit that caused people to kill the disciples and to mistreat them and be so unkind toward them, it's alive and well on planet Earth today. The hatred for the cross of Christ by the religious community has not diminished one iota. It's still in full force. And Jesus knew that if the disciples were going to live effectively and victoriously over all of these powers of darkness that are coming against them, they were going to need something. They were going to need to know that Jesus was still with them. Oh, I feel that this morning. I don't know where you're at or what you're going through this morning, but the knowledge of knowing that Jesus Christ is with you is the greatest asset you can ever possess. Because of Jesus, oh, hallelujah. He said, I am a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That scripture has come to mean more to me over the last few years than it ever has before. Because a brother will sit by you and be physically there with you, but through all kind of trials and tribulations, but Jesus said, I'm a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That means that he literally dwells on the inside of us. My Lord, what a thought that is. Everywhere you go, every situation you're in, he's there. He's there. No wonder King David said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art with me. Wherever you find yourself, if your faith is in Christ and what he did for you at the cross, he never leaves you. He's always there. He's always there. And that knowledge is enough, and it is so powerful that it can propel you to victory in any situation you find yourself in. That's why keeping your faith where it needs to be is so vitally important to the child of God. Because the times have not changed. Satan hates you as a child of God. You are a constant reminder to him of his total defeat and his impending doom. He hates the believer, the blood-washed believer whose faith is in the cross of Christ, with a hatred that our minds cannot comprehend. And he's going to garner all the forces at his disposal to try and destroy that believer, to try to lead them away from their most holy faith, to try to get them to give up, to try to get them to move away from Christ and what he did at the cross. Because he knows if he can perform that function and get anybody to put their faith in something else or hold up something alongside the cross of Christ, that there will be no Holy Ghost power in that individual's life, because the Holy Ghost cannot operate outside of the cross of Jesus Christ. So we as believers, even in this hour, face tremendous opposition. And the only thing that Satan hates more than a blood-washed child of God is a blood-washed child of God that has been baptized in the mighty Holy Ghost of God, that lives in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, Satan is not afraid of a plan or a program. He's not afraid of the shout, but he's scared to death of the blood of Jesus. He trembles at the power of the Holy Ghost flowing through a blood-washed child of God. And Jesus knew, as he told the disciples this day, that was their hope, that was their victory. And he uttered some words then that even Jesus detected, that it caused them such sadness and consternation. He said, I'm about to go away. I don't believe that day they understood fully what Jesus was talking about. I really don't. He was directly referring to, in a few days' time, he was going to go to the cross and give his life. And I know they didn't fully get their mind around that. But he told them, I'm going away. And then he makes a statement that is so beautiful. He said, it's expedient for you that I go away. He said, for if I don't go away, the Comforter can't come. Now I want you to think about this for a moment. Knowing what we face in this world as believers and the tremendous opposition of the world and the powers of darkness, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit as we live through this life. Jesus knew the disciples then were going to need him. We need him today. That's why he said, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. Who was Jesus referring to, the Comforter? The word in Greek is parakletos. It means one called alongside to help. It means one who will be there to speak for you. Praise God. This is why every believer needs to go on after salvation and seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. The Holy Ghost is the power of the church. The Holy Ghost is the agent of regeneration. He's the agent of power. He is the agent of revelation of Jesus Christ. And every born-again believer needs to go on and seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I want everybody, I want hell to know that this church is established upon the blood of Jesus Christ, but it operates in the power of the Holy Ghost. I don't want anything but Holy Ghost power flowing through our singers. I don't want anything but Holy Ghost power flowing through our teachers. We've got no plan, we've got no program other than God's plan and program, which is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and it will minister to every age group. We don't have to so much worry about demographics, but we have our faith in Jesus Christ, and we are going to be established in this church on the power of the Holy Ghost. As God flows through that, great things will happen. Believers will be encouraged. That's why we come to church. You may think we just come to church as a social function because it's something we're supposed to do on Sunday morning. We come in this building as a group to acknowledge Jesus Christ and His shed blood has redeemed us. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. We come in this church to be filled with His power because we don't know what hell has planned for us in the coming week. But I can tell you this, whatever Satan has planned, it's not greater than the power of the Holy Ghost to overcome it. Praise God. Praise God. And Jesus said, that's why He said, it's expedient for you that I go away. Something we must understand about Jesus Christ. When He came and took on the form of man, He took on willingly limitation. He gave up omnipresence, the divine attribute of omnipresence, the ability to be everywhere at once. He willingly laid that aside. And when He told His disciples, it's expedient for you that I go away, because then I'm going to send the Comforter. The one called alongside to help. The one who will speak for you to God the Father and to me on your behalf. He was in effect telling them, when I ascend back into heaven, I'm going to send the Comforter who is the Holy Ghost, He said in John 14. I will send the Holy Ghost upon you. And when He comes, He'll be everywhere. He shall not only dwell with you, Jesus said, but He shall dwell in you. Glory to God. There needs to be in every believer's life this endowment of power from heaven. If you're to live effectively as you should and ought to for God, you can be saved. It's got nothing to do with your salvation. It's got everything to do with how you live for God in this life. Because you need to have greater power operating through you and for you than what's coming against you. And the powers of darkness. And the Holy Ghost is the only power that can do that. I told those prisoners on Thursday night, and most of them caught it, except a couple of them who got a little bit upset with me. I told them how a 12-step program could not set them free. I told them how Alcoholics Anonymous or psychologists could ultimately not help them and heal their minds. But Jesus Christ alone, if they would come to Him, would heal their minds and would do such a work in their life and fill them with His Holy Spirit. My Lord, church, there's power in what we possess. There's power in what we preach. There's power in proclamation of this holy word of God. It's truth. It's truth. It's truth. It's truth. Jesus said in John 14:12, I love to quote it, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. But He said also here in John 16:13, howbeit when He is come, He shall guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is the great revelatory agent of Jesus Christ, who He is. And when a believer is baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, the greatest thing that occurs on the spirit of that individual is not that they speak in tongues. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. It's powerful in and of itself. But the greatest thing that happens to that individual is the Holy Spirit gives them a revelation of Jesus Christ like they've never known before. In other words, Jesus is made so much more real, so much more alive, and so much more powerful to that person. And He, the Holy Spirit, Jesus knew would have the ability to be everywhere at once. Jesus, when He walked this planet, physically, ministered only as far as His humanity would let Him. Now I want you to think about that for a moment. He willingly took on that limitation, giving up the divine attribute of omnipresence, the ability to be everywhere at once. He had to when He took on human form, being our representative man. But now here's what I need to point out to you. If Jesus, being our representative man, taking our place on the cross, being our high priest, if He needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do you and I need Him? What happened when Jesus was baptized? John said he saw the Holy Spirit descend on Him like a dove. If the Lord Jesus, as our representative man, needed the fullness of the Spirit's power, and everything He did was accomplished as a man, operating in the power of the Spirit, everything He did was within that parameter, how much more do you and I today need to be endued with this tremendous power? And my Lord, it should cause our hearts to dance to know that through His shed blood, we can be endued with this power. The Comforter has come, glory to God. Through faith in what Christ did at the cross, it happened in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit entered this world in fulfillment of the prophecies of Joel and Isaiah, especially in Joel 2, where the Bible tells us through the prophet Joel that God said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will have visions. In other words, the Spirit will be poured out without measure. That's what Jesus meant when He said, it's going to be better for you when I leave this world, because I am going to send the Comforter, and He's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to teach you about me. He's going to show you who I am. And more gloriously even than that, Jesus said, He shall take of mine and show it unto you. What was Jesus talking about? He answers His own question in the next verse. He says, all power and all things that the Father hath are mine. Oh, church, we don't know how glorious we have it this morning, that because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we can have the greatest gift that heaven can offer. We can be baptized in the mighty Holy Ghost. And let me tell you, when the Holy Ghost comes and you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, there is a whole new spiritual revelation you get. Jesus becomes so much more real, so much more alive, and all of a sudden you'll be walking down the halls of your office and the Holy Ghost will hit you in the middle of some trouble you're having, and He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you power. He'll make the face of God to shine upon you and cause the problems to just fade into oblivion. That's Holy Ghost power. And not only that, he'll show you who Jesus is. I feel I'm not saying this very well this morning. The cross of Christ and who Jesus is and what he did there. Human minds can't grasp it. I don't care how close you think you are to God. Our human minds, our finite human minds, cannot grasp the glory of what he did there for us. Maybe we can get an eensy teensy iota speck of it. But when the Holy Ghost comes and shows it to you, you see it in ways that you never could before. You see a glory in it that you never saw before. You see a power in it that you never saw before. And you come to realize, as the Holy Spirit fills your life, that Jesus Christ is who he said he was. And he is alive. And he is the Redeemer of the world. And that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The Holy Spirit gives that simple but yet profound and deep revelation of Jesus. And when you have that, you can face anything. To know he's there and to know that the power of the Holy Ghost has been filled your life and that you have been baptized in the Holy Ghost, it's altogether supernatural. That's why Jesus said it's going to be better for you guys, believe me. You don't understand it now, but there's one coming. I'm going to send. And he's not only going to dwell with you as I have, he's going to dwell in you. He's going to make me, Jesus, the friend that sticks closer than a brother. That even when you find yourself chained to a prison wall for doing nothing more than preaching the gospel, you're going to be able to throw up your hands and say, bless his name. Hallelujah. That's power, church. That's power, glory to God. And he, the Holy Spirit, is the agent of revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the greatest thing that happens to a person when they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. I know when it happened for me, Jesus stopped. And I want to be careful how I say this. I want to say it right. Salvation is the greatest thing that can happen to a lost person. Really. To know that your sins are washed away. To know that you've been made right with God. You've been made the righteousness of God. And you've been given the holiness of God through faith in Christ and what he did at the cross. And that's wonderful, and it brings, if you understand it, it brings such elation, such joy to the human mind and spirit. But when the Holy Spirit comes into a person's life in fullness, that glory and that joy becomes so much more real and so much more magnified in the spirit realm for that individual. I'm reminded of a story of the great pianist from Texas, Van Cleburne. He came to be known as the Russian who conquered Texas, or the Texan who conquered Russia, with his musical skill at the piano. In one of the recitals in Moscow, there was a little boy who was considered to be a prodigy on the piano. And Cleburne had been asked to come and watch him play in this auditorium, large auditorium. But the young boy, as talented as he was, and he definitely was a prodigy, was only 12 years old. And when the young man, as Cleburne, was seated off to his right, as he walked out to begin to play the piano, he became so nervous and his hands so shaken that even though he had a modicum of talent, he could hardly play that piano because his fingers were shaking so bad he could barely keep tune with it. Cleburne, seeing the boy's distress and not wanting to see him humiliated, quietly walked over, leaned over him, and he said, just keep playing. And Cleburne put his arms around the boy and began to play the piano as the boy played the middle part of the keys. And even though his portion, the young man's, on his own effort, through all that he knew, was jagged and at best discordant, when Cleburne, the master, stood behind him on either side and began to play, nobody could tell the difference. That's how the Holy Spirit, the mighty baptism in the Holy Spirit, functions in the life of a believer. You can be saved. You can be sitting down at the piano and be kind of maybe pecking out a tune. But to really play it the way it should be played, you need the power of the Master behind you. And the baptism in the Holy Spirit provides that power. That's why every believer, I can't stress it enough, the Lord's told me to begin to stress it. And I know why. God's getting ready to do some great things in this church. He's doing it even now. And we need Holy Ghost power flowing through our lives. Not only for what He's going to do in this church, every believer, as we mentioned earlier, needs the Holy Spirit to live effectively. As you're going to face opposition and powers of darkness, this is exactly what John meant when he said, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need the Comforter. So much more than just speaking in tongues. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And somebody might think, well, that just don't sound too intellectual to me, the speaking in tongues stuff. Let me tell you something. I'll never forget it as long as I live. When we were in a former denomination I was in, and one of the leaders of that denomination, and I believe him to be a good man of God, One of the few men of God left, I believe, in the hierarchy of the movement. Pastored one of the largest churches of God, I believe the largest, down in Atlanta, Georgia. I don't mind telling you it was Dr. Paul Walker. We were in a meeting one time, a minister's meeting, and it was so refreshing to be in this meeting because it was one of those that just wasn't a bunch of denominational jargon. Brother Walker's a good man of God, a spiritual man. And he has more letters and education behind his name than any 27 people. I believe one of the smartest men probably in the church world today. But there came a point in that service, some of them had got into minutiae, as they're so prone to do in those type of meetings. And I'll never forget it. He stopped dead in the meeting, and he said, gentlemen, we need to pray and seek the Holy Ghost's wisdom on this. We're trying to operate in man's wisdom. Wow. Man, that caught my attention right now. You know that grabbed me. And Brother Walker began to pray. And out of his mouth flowed some of the most beautiful prayer language I've ever heard in my life as the Spirit prayed through him. I'm telling you, it may seem unintellectual to say, I don't want no part of this speaking in tongues stuff. But that's the agent that God has chosen to prove that you have submitted yourself fully over to the control of His Spirit. Let me give it to you this way. When Austin was a little boy, he and Tara were younger. I'm going to tell on myself here. Over in the mall parking lot, sometimes Ravonna would be in the store late shopping. How many of you can bear witness with that, ladies? Macy's would be having one of their big sales that they have. Have you ever noticed how Macy's has a major sale every day of the week? I don't know about you, but my box is inundated with stuff from Macy's. Oh, it's our one-day sale. It's our one-hour sale. It's our 11-minute sale. You know, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Get the, you know. Oh. But Bonnie was at one of those sales. It was late at night. They were staying open late. And Austin and Tara wanted to drive. Oh, I wish they were still little. Because now Tara sits in the seat all by herself when we drive. And that's a different story altogether. She does good. But I'm here to tell you, you're looking at a great man of faith. And God has so used Tara's driving experiences to increase my faith in Him to protect and to care for you. Even in the most scary of situations, I know what I'm preaching about this morning. But anyway, when they were younger, they wanted to drive. Bonnie's got her hands folded now. Give me that look. Like, what are you about to tell? We can't tell Mommy everything, can we, Austin? So I took them out. There was nobody in the parking lot. It was virtually empty. And I would take turns with them, setting them on my lap, and just letting them put their hands on the wheel and drive. And man, they thought, woo, ain't I something, as they had their hands on their wheel, on that wheel, just driving that car around, sitting on my lap. But they didn't realize I had my two hands on the bottom of the wheel. They thought they were in control, but they weren't. So it is when the believer is baptized in the Holy Spirit. His hands are on the bottom of the wheel of your life. Sometimes the Lord will let us sit in that driver's seat and think, man, we're doing great things. But it's never done without the power of the Holy Ghost. And man, I've been so glad so many times, because let me tell you, Austin and Tara, sometimes they'd get headed toward one of them light poles. And they're just so enamored, they're just going right along. And you know what? I'd have to just gently tug that wheel and turn it away from that light post and guide them in the right direction. That's exactly what Jesus was referring to here in John 16:13, when he said, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Hallelujah. Every believer, I've been praying and asking God, and the Holy Spirit's told me to stress it, every believer needs to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And you're not seeking tongues. You're seeking the mighty baptism, but when Jesus baptizes you in the Holy Ghost, you will speak with other tongues. It's a beautiful thing. It's nothing to be intellectually ashamed of. It's the power of God, and it is so supernatural to hear yourself speaking in an unknown tongue that it just so confirms to you the power of God, and it confirms that the Holy Spirit has taken control. And we mentioned this on Wednesday night. I believe I know why God chose the tongue. Control of the tongue is the initial evidence somebody's been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because this thing is the hardest thing in the world to control. Nothing can control this except the Holy Ghost. And Jesus told them, knowing what they would face, knowing they would need this power in their life, fully operative to overcome the powers of darkness. Because the Holy Ghost, when he comes, he won't leave. He won't leave. That's what, and what does he do? He takes of Jesus, everything Jesus won for us on the cross. My Lord, help me to hold it up like the diamond, spiritual diamond that it is. The Holy Spirit of God is the one who imparts to you and I all of the benefits that Jesus Christ gave us on the cross. That's why Jesus said, he shall take of mine and show it unto you. And then Jesus told him, what's mine? Everything's mine. Wow! But of all the wonderful things that the Holy Spirit can do for us without measures, he's been poured out now because Jesus gave his life on the cross. Before that, it couldn't have been possible. That's why Jesus told him, I've got to go away. But if I go away, it's going to be better for you. I'm going to send you another comforter. And he will abide with you forever. Think of that. Think of that. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the Holy Spirit is right there. If you'll receive him without measure, he's there on the inside of you anyway. Our Baptist brothers and sisters are 1,000% correct when they say you receive the Holy Spirit at salvation. You do. But there's a difference between being baptized, or between being filled with the Spirit and being baptized in the Spirit. And I'm going to close with this little bit of teaching. And I told the Lord as I was preparing this, I said, Lord, because he told me, he said, there is a deficiency that I want you to touch on. He said, there's not enough. You haven't done enough preaching on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And he said, I've got a lot of things I want to do with your church, but it can only be done through Holy Ghost power as your people, as the people here, that they need to be filled with the Spirit. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, on Sunday, and every time you tell me to teach or preach on this subject, I'm not going to try and worry about being theologically perfect in 3 points and a prayer and sub points and all that. Because I just want to see the people receive the fullness of your Spirit as you're commanding me. And I know that's your work. You'll do it. But I break from the entirety of the message to do this little bit of teaching as I close. Difference between being filled with the Spirit and being baptized in the Spirit. At any baptism, there are three baptisms mentioned in Scripture. There's our baptism into Christ, mentioned in Romans 6. There's water baptism. And then there's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And in each one of these baptisms, there are three elements that make each one up. There is the candidate, that's the person being baptized. There is the element, that's what they're being baptized into. And there is the baptizer, the one performing the act of the baptism. Whenever a sinner comes to faith in Christ and places their faith exclusively in what he did at the cross, at that moment in time, the Holy Spirit from heaven is sent into that individual's spirit. They're filled. They're filled with the Holy Spirit at that point in time. It has to be. We can't change our lives. We can't do anything without Holy Ghost power. And the Holy Spirit comes in and begins to, he takes up residence in that person's life. And then at salvation, the candidate being that sinner, the Holy Spirit being the baptizer, takes that individual spiritually, according to Romans 6. I'm going to give you scripture for this so you know I'm not pulling this out of thin air. The Holy Spirit at salvation takes that person and baptizes them into Christ. Immerses them, the Holy Spirit does, into Christ. That's so powerful and so beautiful. That we're now, because of that person's faith, when God looks at that sinner, he no longer sees the sin. He sees the blood of Jesus. When he looks at that person, he no longer sees their life. He sees the life of Christ. That in and of itself is so glorious that it beggars description. But then the second baptism mentioned in Scripture is a natural baptism, if you will. Baptism in water. That has nothing to do with your salvation as far as providing you with a right standing before God. Water baptism is the testimony of the individual to the world of what the Holy Spirit has done for them spiritually by baptizing them into Christ. And in water baptism, the candidate, of course, is the regenerated believer, the one who's put their faith in Christ. The baptizer is God's appointed earthly minister, one of the fivefold ministry gifts, apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, pastor. And the water is the natural element that that person is baptized into, symbolizing what the Holy Spirit has done for them prior, baptizing them into Christ. Doesn't save you at all. It's like the brother went with us to the prison ministry. I love how he said it. He said, you know, he was trying to get off drugs. What's his name? Emerson. And he said, the apostolic church took me and dunked me underwater. And he said, you know what? He said, all I was a wet sinner. Now, I thought, that's a good way to say it. He and I had the privilege to drive him home. He's a great guy. And he told me that. And I thought, that's about it. There's nothing in that water that saves you. It's a testimony to the world, to other humans, what the Holy Spirit has already done in your life. And it should be done by every believer. And lastly, there's the mighty baptism in the Holy Spirit, which is available only to God's children who've had the first baptism by the Holy Spirit, not in the Holy Spirit. The baptism by the Holy Spirit into Christ. This last baptism in the Holy Spirit, again, the candidate is the regenerated believer. The baptizer is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Hallelujah. Oh, I felt a rush of the Holy Ghost as I said that. Jesus Christ is the only one worthy to baptize anybody in the Holy Spirit. You can't get it by having somebody teach you either and say yabba-dabba-doo after me. The Bible says it's as the Spirit of God gives the utterance that you begin to speak in tongues as the initial evidence you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is that baptizer. And when you come to him, Do you think he's going to refuse you as his child? He said himself, if you ask for a piece of bread, am I going to give you stone? If you ask for, if one of your kids asks for a piece of meat, are you going to hand them over a serpent? He said, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the good gift of the Holy Ghost to those who ask him? He'll never turn any one of his children down. Get it out of your mind this morning that God will tell you no, that it's not for you right now. I don't care how old you are. If you're old enough to understand the cross and what Jesus did for you on the cross, you are more than an able candidate to be baptized by Jesus into the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, at the baptism in the Holy Spirit, when you ask him, he won't turn you down. He says, yes, I'll do it. You're his child. You're his child. You don't have to wonder, will he do it? Get it out of your mind. Don't even let something enter your mind like, I don't know if he will or not. Yes, he will. It's his word. He said it time and time again. At the point you ask him, Jesus, I'm your child. I love you. I'm washed in your blood. Would you endue me with this power from on high? Would you baptize me in the Holy Spirit? And then the King of Glory takes you spiritually and immerses you then into the Holy Spirit. And it's such a beautiful revelation of who he is and the power that he possesses, that joy and glory are going to fill your soul, and it's going to feel so good on the inside of you that you're going to need a way to express it that you can't do in human terms. And it's at that point in time the Holy Spirit of God gives you an utterance. Now, what do you mean by that? In Acts 2, 8, 10, and 19, as we studied on Wednesday night, in every instance when believers were initially baptized by Jesus into the Holy Spirit, they spoke with tongues, the Bible says, as the Spirit gave the utterance. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means he'll give you the language. Instantly, when Jesus baptizes you into the Holy Spirit, you'll get an entire language given to you instantaneously. It would be just, I use the illustration on Wednesday night, it would be just like taking Zane and all of a sudden saying, Zane, speak now. And Zane would just begin to talk fluently like I've spoken to you this morning. That's how powerful the baptism in the Holy Spirit is. You get an entire prayer language at the point Jesus baptizes you into the Holy Spirit. You get an entire language. And at the point he baptizes you, you're going to hear words or phrases. You're going to sense words or phrases in your heart and spirit like you've never heard before and you've never spoken before. That's the Holy Spirit giving you the utterance. Now watch this as we move to the altar call here in a few moments. The Holy Spirit will not speak for you. Get that. I have prayed for people so many times who just stand there, just thinking God's going to zap them with a lightning bolt or something, and they're going to begin to speak in tongues. That's not how the process works. The Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. You have to yield unto him to give him the control. And when you yield to him and he will come in, you then have to, as an act of your will, form the words and speak them what he's given you. He's not going to come down and move your mouth and speak them for you. And it's at that point that you begin to speak in the prayer language that you've been given. You've just been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it's an endowment of power. It's a greater revelation of Jesus. Jesus is made so much more real and beautiful in what he did on the cross to the believer. And you may think now, as a believer, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, how on earth could the cross be made more beautiful? How on earth could Jesus be made more real to me? You haven't even scratched the surface yet. You need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You need this comforter operative in your life all the time. And Jesus Christ will not refuse you his child. And it will make such a difference. It will make such a difference in your spiritual walk with the Lord. I feel I've done a very poor job this morning of elucidating it, but again, it's not on my power to orate. I know I've at least told the truth. Jesus wants to fill some of you this morning with the power that flows from the very throne room of Almighty God. And it's so beautiful. and such an intimate experience with the Lord Jesus Christ that it will change you forevermore. I've never talked with one person who's ever been disappointed with being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's always given them just what the Word says, a greater revelation of Jesus, and made Jesus so much more real to them. And on top of that, you get this beautiful prayer language that every time you yield to the Holy Spirit now in your life when you don't know how to pray, according to Romans 8, 25 through 28, He'll pray through you and He'll pray for you. When Jesus said, I'm going to send a comforter, one called alongside, one to speak for you. God knows the mind of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit filling you, the individual believer, knows how to speak to God on your behalf. Let me liken it to this. If you were in a legal matter that was far above your head, you would go and get a lawyer to go down to the courthouse with you, and you would have that lawyer speak for you because you don't know the legal jargon. You don't know the perfect words to say to that judge. You could say something terribly wrong, find yourself in contempt of court, thrown out of the courtroom, get in all kinds of trouble. But when you pray, when we pray in our spiritual prayer language, that is the Holy Ghost praying through us and praying for us, and He always prays in the perfect will of God. He knows the right language to use to speak to God the Father on your behalf. And the act of speaking in tongues so regenerates a person's spirit and so brings such a spiritual refreshing that even in the darkest hours of your life, because speaking in that prayer language, number one, the Holy Ghost is supernaturally praying for you. And when you hear and witness that going on, do you know what that's got to tell you? He's with you. He's with you. He hasn't left, even in your darkest hour. And He'll be there with you, and He'll begin to pray through you and for you. And He knows exactly what God needs to hear, hallelujah, to help you out in your time of trouble. I could go on all day about the glory of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, but it's time now to give anyone who wants that the opportunity to do so. Would you please stand? Heads bowed, eyes closed, please. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I've done my best today to deliver what I feel You would have me do. And Lord, I know that through human might or wisdom, nobody can be baptized in the mighty Holy Ghost. It's solely up to You, Jesus, and You will do it for any of Your children that asked You. I'm talking to some of you now that I know that while the Lord had me preach this message, you're just as ready for heaven. You know you're a blood-washed child of God, ready for heaven. If you died tonight, you know you'd go to heaven. You know that your faith rests exclusively in Jesus Christ and what He did for you at the cross. But you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And I've been praying for God to cultivate a hunger in anyone. And I don't know who. Some of you may surprise me. But I know there's some that need this because the Lord has had me preach on it. And I've been around enough to know that when He starts wooing any preacher in a certain direction, it's because He wants to accomplish that which He's having that minister deal with. You're ready for heaven. That's not the issue. You love Jesus. That's not the issue. But you would say, Pastor, I've never been baptized in the mighty Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And if God's got something else for me after my salvation, and He does, this tremendous gift, I want to receive all He's got for me, His child, and I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Would you just slip up a hand right now? I promise, just like salvation, nobody's going to embarrass you. And I promise you, around this altar, when I call you forward in a moment, and there's nobody in this church like that anyway, but I usually run this disclaimer in other churches, but nobody's going to do anything improper to you, shake you, or embarrass you in any way. I promise you. And if they would start to do that, I will stop them. Are there any here who would say, I've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I want all God's got for me? Would you slip up a hand right now? Are there any at all? Any at all? Okay, then I'm going to ask everybody who would you present yourselves at the altar of the Lord this morning? You can go ahead and play, Michelle. I'm going to ask you, if you would, reverently, to bow your heads for just a moment. Because here's how I feel the Holy Spirit directing me at this altar call. The biblical Pentecostal way is not for you to have just come at some point a long time ago and received the baptism in the Holy Spirit and you spoke in tongues. And you left it off after that. No, no, no. You need to go on because there's always more of Him. There's always more of Him. I'm trying to think of a delicate way to say it, but I can't feel the Lord giving me any. Other than this, just to be blunt, I feel Him lead me in this direction. There's some of you, you've grown cold in your gift of praying in the Spirit. It rarely happens, if ever, to you anymore. Or maybe it happened to you a long, long time ago, and you left it off after that. Yes, you were baptized in the Holy Spirit and still are. But there's more God's got for you. He did not intend for that gift to just lay dormant. You're missing out on a real source of refreshing, a real source of spiritual regeneration. If you're not praying in the Spirit every day of your life, that's how powerful it is. That's why Paul told the church at Corinth, the great apostle Paul, if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, and the great apostle Paul would make the statement to the Corinthian church, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than ye all. Again, it was so much more than just the speaking in tongues he was referring to. He was talking about the spiritual refreshing and empowerment and the powerful prayer that is produced by prayer in the Holy Ghost. I'm convinced in my own life that at times the Holy Spirit has prayed things down for me that I would have never even known how to ask God for. And I'll be frank with you and just transparent with you. I know one of them happened last year around this altar right here. When we had a service where I asked the Lord and I asked you all to pray for me, that God would break the food addiction I had. Now I'm here to tell you, church, I'm being transparent before you. Because you all know I love desserts. I love sweets. I love to eat. But the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has come down, and some of you ask me, Pastor, how have you been losing so much weight? What kind of diet are you on? I'm on a Holy Ghost diet. And He really will. He tells me, and I do my best to listen to Him. Now, I haven't hit it every time yet, but you're seeing the fruit of it. I'm in process, okay? He'll say, now quit. You've had enough of that. Really? And He has so helped me, and I know I've prayed down as He's prayed through me. Help to convince me and to give me the revelation that strawberry ice cream is not a fruit. And like I was telling some of them earlier, that eating a banana split twice a day is not three servings of fruit. You know, your bananas, your strawberries, and your pineapples. You know, I thought I was doing fine. That's just one thing of the many He'll do. Don't let His operation grow cold in your life is the message that I believe He's putting forth. And if you have, He stands ready to refill you right now. Ask Him. Ask Him right now. Don't let it grow cold. Let Him reignite the fire one more time in you again like you felt the day you were first baptized. Because there's more, there's more, there's more. It's like a waterfall that'll never run dry. It's like a Niagara He is to the believer's life. We need more of Him. We'll always need more of Him. We'll never get enough. Because when we become spiritually satisfied, we'll become spiritually complacent. And God's got some great things He's going to do with us. And if you've grown cold in that gift this morning, right where you stand, and I know we don't need no aisle jumping, crazy kind of service, because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. But if God moves on you and you're that joyous, run and jump an aisle. That's fine. But if you've grown cold in Him, and you need a refilling of the Holy, a rebaptism, if you will, a deeper baptism in the Holy Spirit, because you've let His operation grow cold in your life, ask Him right now this morning, because He wants to do it, and He will do it. This is one thing you don't have to doubt, you don't have to worry, you don't have to wonder, will God do this for me? I'm telling you, at this altar, if we can get our teens to be full of the Holy Ghost, it's better than Jack Daniels. It's better than Jersey Shore. It's better than anything MTV puts out. I know what I'm talking about. I've had all of that junk before that the world can offer. What God's got is glorious to the human soul and spirit. And we as believers need to model this lifestyle before them. Ask Him now around this altar. I sense there's a hunger. And he said, Jesus said, blessed. In other words, happy are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, I know there's some of you, and I'm not chiding you or condemning you. You need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I love you. I know you're saved. But I'm telling you, don't be afraid to get more of God, because Satan would love to steer you away from this experience and have you miss out on all God's got for you. Don't be afraid of getting too much of God. Satan would love to put a fear in your heart that says, I just don't know if I want that much of Him. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Don't let him cause you to think foolishly like that spiritually. You need all God's got for you. And I'm not saying this to embarrass you. This is between you and the Lord. I don't have a clue of who I'm talking to right now. I honestly don't. But seek Him for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You can be baptized at home. If being in this crowd makes you nervous and you think they're all going to think I'm foolish if I speak in tongues, we won't. But go on. I believe the Lord has laid on my heart to stress the goal, to create a hunger in your heart, to have more of God than you've ever had before. All of us need that. Now, would you lift your hands? And let's pray and ask Him. If you want more, ask Him this morning. He'll give it. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to You today. And I'm asking You, just like You did Ezekiel, take us through the river of God one more time today. Lord God, Lord God, Lord God, touch every heart today in a powerful way with Your Spirit. Give those hungry souls, Lord, I know You're doing it even now. Lord, let us not grow cold in the power of the Spirit. Let us not allow the giftings of the Holy Spirit to lay dormant in our lives. But let us yield our lives to Him every day that He may pray through us and recharge us and refresh us. Holy Spirit, have Your way today. There's some of you standing around this altar right now. You ask the Lord Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And the words, the spiritual languages come. Begin to speak it. That's all you got to do. Just begin to speak what He's telling you. You've asked Him for it. You didn't raise your hand. Or you didn't. But that's not, we're not keeping score. Begin to speak what He's given you right now. It's not going to be English. Move your mouth and form the words. Move your mouth and form the words. It's not going to be English. It's not going to be unlike anything you've ever heard or spoken before. That's Him giving you the utterance. Thank You, Lord, for what You're doing. I sense You moving mightily in our hearts and lives today. I know You are in mine. Make us more like Jesus. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, we need you. We can't live, we can't breathe, we can't move, we can't do anything without you. And Jesus, you are our baptizer in the Holy Ghost. We need you. We need more. We need more Holy Ghost power, Lord Jesus. We need more refreshing, Lord. We need to quit looking to the world for our refreshing. We need to quit looking to the world for, Lord, for us to be renewed and revived. We need to quit looking to humanity to provide for us the solace that our souls need. We need more of the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, I feel Him moving so mightily. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. Lord, let us yield. Let us yield our spirits over to you today in a deeper way than we ever have before. Knowing that your precious Holy Spirit is such a gentleman, He'll never embarrass us. Lord, I thank you for the refreshing that I felt today. I thank you, Lord, for I sense you've renewed the joy of the Lord and the power of the Spirit to a lot of folks around this altar today. And Lord, let us not leave this altar today. Let us know that this needs to be a change in us, Lord, until the day we're called home to glory. We need to yield every day over to the movement and operation of the Holy Spirit as a conscious effort on our part. We need to allow Him to do His mighty work in us and through us. For only He can do what we need. Only He can give what we need. Because He takes Jesus of everything you won for us on the cross. He gives us your peace. He gives us your power. He is the imparter of your presence. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Comforter. For the Comforter. That'll provide that comfort in the jail cell. In any kind of place or predicament we may find ourselves, He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Thank you, Lord, for the Comforter. Amen and amen. Give Jesus Christ a hand of praise today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to urge those, and I honestly don't know who I'm talking to. Maybe I'm missing God altogether. But go on, seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. If you have not, if you've let that gift lay dormant in your life for years, keep on seeking Him for more. Because He'll open up avenues of revelation, He'll open up avenues of thought, and He'll pray through you to God and get you things that you can never pray down through human mentality. This is supernatural power we're talking about. Praise God. Praise God. I again want to wish you all a happy Thanksgiving. I'll remind you that we will not be having service this Wednesday night. Go be with your families. Have a great time. And as you're gathered around that table, before you chow down, remember the one. Remember the one who's provided everything. Amen. Jesus Christ. Praise God. Helen, would you come dismiss us in prayer this morning?